Well, it is great to be here, and most of you know that we're back till September, but those who maybe don't know us or are new, I can't really tell if I see anybody new, but we're missionaries in Thailand, and we're filling in for Dave because he's down in Texas. So I think the brother, another missionary, is speaking next week, but I forgot his name. Okay, amen. So I'm warming up for him. I'm warming up for him. So anyway, I thought we would ask David. He said, "Well, do whatever you feel like doing." So I don't have any pictures of the ministry or anything, but I'm just going to actually just share some of the ways we teach the tribal people. And these things aren't basic, really, but they're foundational. So it'll help us and maybe give you guys an idea of some of the things, how we teach down there, over there, around, wherever we're at. So so it's a topical study on who we are in Christ. And that's very broad, but just a couple things that I think they're just important to know and establish and reestablish and re-remember and encourage us who we really are. Because we have, the enemy. We have the world and we have our own flesh that are continually trying to discourage us and get our minds off Christ. So, and it's the same here as it is over there. Same, but the good news is same Bible and same Holy Spirit, right? So we're all the same. We all have this battle. Those that are in Thailand, those that are here, missionaries, school teachers, mothers, fathers, all the same. All those that are Christ's have the same battle. But the good news is he overcame it, so we're just working that out. He's already done it. He's living in us, working that out. And we have the responsibility to help in that. He's given us co-partnership in being lights, not salvation. He's the only one to bring salvation, but we are given this opportunity to use our lives, our moments in our lives, the trials that come into our lives and the happy things that come into our lives and give him glory through that as we walk in faith. And so this is one foundation of that. Who we are in Christ, how do we see ourselves in Christ is a very important part of that. And so this is how we try to teach those that have little knowledge of the Bible, because it doesn't really matter. If you have a lot of knowledge or little knowledge, these foundational things are important. And if you think about it, these things are... things we're going to talk about are the letters of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, and those were all given to the early church. These were new Christians. These great truths were given to new Christians. So they're normal in the development and growth of all Christians. So we're just going to look at mainly who we are in Christ and hopefully get through it within a couple hours. What is it? It's like a half hour, right? What is it? How come there's no clock back there? I gotta be looking. Okay, so we got a little bit of time to do it. So, I guess because we don't have a little clicker, I gotta ask Brent to do one first. And this is just a timeline. This is what I try to show, like a broad outline of the Bible first to the people in the. Who we minister with, and I got to find what page I have that on. Let's see. Okay. I think timeline is 9, Brent. Or is it Christian doing it? Okay. This is how we, how we've gone about ministry with trying to explain the... why is there this big book, the Bible, and what does it do, right? So mainly, if you think about it, the Bible, what it does, and every book teaches that we need God. God is the creator, God has the power, and God is always coming after man and saving man and delivering him. We need God. So that's what the Bible, all the Bible is tied together like that. And it also shows that we're not God, that we are weak, right? So so that's what we try to do. So there's some other things we do about, like we first teach that you know, there are these spiritual beings, angels, who are created perfect. But even in that perfect state of seeing God and the free will God gave them, they could fall, right? I mean, they were in the presence of God and they fell, some of them, right? So even a perfect creation in the presence of Almighty God, who has a free will, can fall. So then we go to Adam and Eve, that they were created perfect, right? Perfect environment. You know, what was bothering Adam and Eve? Nothing, right? But they fell. Because they are not holy and perfect. There's only one good, and that's God. And that's who we need. That's who man needs, right? That's what the creation needs. So we go through that sort of in more detail, but we go through that. Then we do a timeline. And we say that faith in Christ is salvation from the beginning to the end. So this first one, I know you guys probably can't see it, but it's Adam and Eve with the tree. And then there's Noah, Abraham, Moses, and we say the church age. That's the church. All gain salvation through faith. Not works, but faith. As they put their faith in what God had told them, what they know about God, they put their faith in that as salvation, and God can save them through that faith. And it's the Redeemer from the beginning, right? He's going to send someone to redeem. They may have not known the name Jesus, but they knew the Redeemer was coming. And that's enough for salvation, right? So we see that all the way through. So the works, so why we divide it up is the works are different. God works with men in different ways at different times. He gives men different works to do for obedience and love to Him. That's the works we have. The church has a different work than maybe the, you know, Noah had to build a boat. You know, Adam and Eve had to leave the garden and till, you know. Moses and the Israelites, they were given the Ten Commandments, they're given the law to be a light. It's a work. It's a different work than we have. Our work is to walk in love and faith. That's the work of the church, right? So that has nothing to do with our salvation, our work. Christ is the only thing that gives us salvation. His work on our behalf. That's our salvation. That's our foundation. And as we receive that and know that, we're saved. We're born again. And then we start to be a light from what He has given us. So we show that all the way through, it's faith. All the same. You look at Hebrews 11, right? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's not by works, by works, by works, by faith. So we do that. Show them, first of all, it's not about their works. It's about their faith and the one who can save them. So, let's see. So you're born again. I'm just going to start with that. So number one. Right? Oh, hold it. You're not born again yet. That's not born again yet. So we're we're humans, and our soul is separated from God. That's death. Separation is death. Our spirit, right? So we're all walking around separated from God. But then when you're born again, I think that's two. All right? Something changes, right? Can you go to three? This is what changes. That old spirit gets changed to a new spirit. We're born again. But the flesh, if you notice the flesh, the outside part doesn't change. The inside part changes. That's the down payment, right? So that's what we're going to talk about, who we really are. We're not the old anymore. We're the new. Although we have this old flesh, we're actually new creations in Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that's who we are. That's who we are right there. We're not the old anymore. So the question is, rhetorical, do you feel new or old? Right? Let the word wash, because it needs to wash all the time. We need to be reminded we're new. Even though this is old, who we really are, when this is dissolved, we're not it. We're the new. We're a spiritual creation. We're new. We're going to get a new body later, but right now we only have the down payment, which is a new spirit. We're born again, right? So if we see that, in 2 Corinthians 5, this is just going through sort of a, hold it. 2 Corinthians 5, I don't know if that keeps going. Yeah, it does. Okay. Now think about this. Here's Paul. So we know we're a new creation. We're a spiritual creation. And Paul sort of implies this here in, it's a famous verse about, you know, being absent from the body is present with the Lord. Right? It's in 1 Corinthians 5. 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, if we're absent from our body, he's not talking about our bodies. So what's present with the Lord? The Spirit, right? So he's talking about, believe in this context, before we get our new bodies, when Christians die, they go to heaven. Their spirit, their body doesn't. The new man who's been born again does, right? So that's who we are. So we're actually in Christ, right? Now, but do we feel in Christ? We are. So a good thing about this is our feeling of what God has done for us does not affect our salvation. Our salvation has nothing to do with our feelings. It has everything to do with Christ's work on our behalf. So as we grow, and you think about it, when you were first saved, how much have you learned since you're first saved? So you're understanding theology, your understanding of, you know, this scripture and that scripture has nothing really to do with your salvation. Christ and him alone, faith in his work, is your salvation. As we grow, though, then we gain more knowledge, right? The more knowledge we have, the more Christ-like we become, right? So understanding these things, that's all it is that we, when we're in trial and we start to think, wow, did he really save me? Why did I do that? Oh, he did save me. I have my faith in him. I know he paid for all my sin, but I'm dealing with my flesh. I'm dealing with the world. I'm dealing with whatever, my fear, right? All that is the work of the old man, the old nature, not of the new man, right? So we have this battle. We can see that in Galatians 5, right? Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The works of the flesh are these, and the works of the Spirit are these, right? So we're in this constant tension. But to know who we are in Christ is important. So we'll go, so we read, did we, talked about 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we're new creations. That word new means new. It's new in time. So it's a balance between what we were old, and what has now happened when we're born again. That's what that word new means there. So it's actually referring to, going back to the fact that we were born in the flesh. And Christ says what? You must be born again, right? So we see that 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is talking about this new birth, that we're new creations, old things have been passed away, behold, all things are new, right? So the old stuff in the flesh has been passed away. How does that happen? What do we, because we know, we experience, well, I still have my flesh, what do you mean, right? So let's, we're talking about positional truths that God has done for us, has nothing to do with us. These truths are what God has done for us because of Christ's sacrifice for us. He's paid it all, and he's given us this new thing where the Holy Spirit is mingled with our new spirit. He raises our old spirit from the dead, so to speak. We were separated. Life means being with God, right? So we have this Holy Spirit in us. We are in him. It says that in John 7, right? Christ prays, right? Father, that they may be in me and I in you, and they may be one like us, right? So this new creation, this new born-again creation is actually the Holy Spirit and our new creation mingled together. We are not God. We're a new creation. We have a beginning, but he is in it. He's our power. That's the only way for us to stand before God is to be like God. So what he does, he gives us his Holy Spirit. He makes our created old spirit with something that it didn't have before, and that's the Holy Spirit. So he washes us, he baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and we become one with Christ. We're in Christ, right? So that's who we are. So what we do in the beginning, we try to teach them that, is that it's not about works. It's about what God has done for you. Another couple of verses about this. And you go to 1 Peter, let me see, is it 1st? Oh, 2 Peter 4:1-4. Now this is all talking about the new birth. Who you are, who we are. May not feel like it. But the good thing about faith, you think about faith. Faith cuts through feeling. I could feel terrible. Well, think about Paul and Silas in jail. What were they feeling like? They were beaten. Faith cuts through our emotion and feeling and sets us on the rock. It cuts through our situation where we may be in jail or no money or something terrible happened. Faith is what pleases God. Faith cuts through our situations, our emotions, and keeps us in line with the truth, right? So this is God's word telling us who we are. So 2 Peter, four, one, right? Let's see. Oh, nope. It only has three there. No, it's 1:4, sorry. 2 Peter 1:4. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. See, this is a promise. We're one with God. We're born again. We're seated in the beloved. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ, right? We're now in the kingdom of his dear son. Emotion may not tell you that's true, but that's what God has done for us. And we're a new creation in Christ, right? By these things, you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. It's that we're not becoming God, but he's indwelling us. We're partakers of that divine nature. God is actually pleased with us now because Christ has paid the price. And now we can be with him because of Christ's work. Right? We're adopted sons into the family because the spirit of adoption has adopted us into the family of God. So now we are sons and daughters of God. Not through our experience. Sometimes we're not joyful. Sometimes things happen, right? Thank God that he has done this for us. And that's what we need to remember of who we are, right? So we're partakers of the divine nature. In other words, the most powerful thing in the universe is living in us and has changed us, made us death to life, right? And that's his work on our behalf. That has nothing to do with our work for him, okay? So the next thing we'll go to is Colossians 2:11. Now, this, just throwing these things out here, you do with them as you think as well, but I hope it encourages you to remember that this is what God's word is saying about us, who we are. So Colossians 2:11, it says, in whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So this isn't a physical act by man, okay, what's he's going to say next. Circumcision not made with hands. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. Do you understand that saying? Is that he is using the Old Testament circumcision, you know, picture where they would circumcise and they would cut off the flesh and they'd throw it away. It'd be tossed away. So this is a symbol, though. This happened physically, but that's actually a spiritual symbol of what Christ was going to do for us. So what he has done, he has circumcised us from the sins of the flesh. How can that be? Because we're born again. We are the new creation. We're the spirit. It's the down payment, right? In God's economy, time does not affect God's eternal view. He knows from the beginning to the end of the beginning. He knows those who believe. He knows what he's going to do for us. So he can actually say that because of Christ's payment, your sins are forgiven. I've given you a new life. You now have my mind. The Holy Spirit is living in you. And you are now no longer condemned by the flesh. Okay? That's what he's done for us. There's no longer any condemnation of those that are in Christ, right? That's how this applies, because we're actually new creations in Christ. And if you go on there with 2 Corinthians 11, or Colossians 2:11, made without hands and putting off the body as sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen through faith. This isn't a water baptism, this is spiritual baptism. There's no way you can go in the water and rise by faith. I mean, actually, you should have faith before you go in the water, right? So this is the operation of the Spirit. We're baptizing the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, right? One body made to drink of one Spirit, right? So this is made not without hands, right? So we know this isn't some guy coming in. We're baptizing the Holy Spirit. So this is how we are separated from our flesh, because we become new creations in Christ. So God sees us as new in his Son, right? Christ paid the penalty, so he still sees our sin and our fault, what we allow our flesh to do, but he treats us no longer like enemies, but as sons. So he disciplines us, but not as enemies anymore, because our payment has been paid by Christ. But he does discipline us as sons and daughters. So he does see our sin. He sees what we do, right? But he knows that we're weak. We're but broken vessels that God's glory can come out of, right? We're made of dust. The whole issue of why he doesn't take us to heaven is because he wants us to grow and mature in these truths on earth here, right? So that's why he no longer condemns us, but he disciplines us as Christians. The unsaved are condemned. He sees and condemns, right? They have no hope. But we, because we're born again, we have this hope that he disciplines us as a father. So saying that we're new creations in Christ and we're separated from our flesh does not mean, you know, oh, I can do whatever. No, it's not that way. Actually, it's much more severe for the church. God disciplines us much more severely because we know the truth. So, but who we are in Christ is important, right? So we see that we're circumcised from the body of sins of the flesh. They're cut away from us by God's work. This is truth. This is how we can become born again and still be in these fleshly bodies. God says it's completed. You're my sons and daughter. Now are we the sons of God? 1 John 3, right? Now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him. Now are we the sons of God. So we're new. But we've been given this task to tame this flesh, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. It doesn't relieve us of our responsibility. We're still responsible before man and God what we allow our flesh to do, right? We're still responsible. But we're no longer condemned as enemies. We're disciplined as sons. That's the difference, okay? So what we want to do, I think we'll go to the other. I'm looking for my little. Okay, we'll go to five. So we have the flesh, right? And we're born again. Okay, this is just a different example of the same truth. That's how God goes through it. Sometimes, taking off the old man, putting on the new, separating us from our sinful flesh. Okay, the bulls down here are our flesh. They're the sinful flesh. With the unsaved on your right, they have no hope of taming that flesh at all. They're dead to God. God's truth, His love cannot penetrate them. They are in dire need. They are grasping for some type of relevance, some type of hope. And of course, we know, as we were, some of us, we try to find it anywhere we can, that happiness to fill, right? But so that's them. But Christians are on the left, your left. We still have the flesh, but we're separated from it. We're put on the back of it, and are responsible to steer it. We are responsible for what we allow this flesh to do. Although we are not it, we are not condemned as enemies. We're condemned as sons and daughters, right? So that's how the separation works. So there's a story, this boy and his mom plant these wonderful gardens around their house and their farm and stuff. And the boy loves time with his mom. The mom loves times with the boy. And the father, he has bulls. And so one day the son takes this bull. He said, I'm just like my dad. So he got a rope and got a bull out and started trampsing around the corral. But that bull was just shaking him all over, and pretty soon he lost it. He had no control over it. So the father says, son, no, you got to get on the back of the bull, and you got to use these tools. You got to have stirrup, you got to have rope, you know. So the tools that we have, in other words, the tools that we have as born-again Christians, God puts us on the back of this bull, separates us from it, cleans us up. We're his sons and daughters. He loves us. His attention is always on us. He says, okay, now, you know, be a light, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit's in you, you know, and you're going to be able to steer this bull. So we have no excuse about what we allow ourselves to do, this flesh. But we're not it, but we have no excuse about it, right? So the boy goes, okay, great, Dad. So he gets on there one day, and he's tearing around there, and pretty soon that bull knocks him out of the corral. The bull goes out of the corral, and he just stamps all over the mom's garden. And he sees all that, and he's so sorry, and he's crying, you know. And the mom says, that's okay, son. You didn't mean to do it, but this is how you don't do it. And the father also teaches him, this is how you don't do it. So the father and the mother are not mad at the son, even though he was on the back of the bull, because they know the bull did it. That's the way God sees it. God sees our need, our weakness with our flesh in the world, and he says, hey, okay, this is how I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to give you love. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to give you my truth. I'm going to wash you again so you're not feeling terrible, you know, as we confess our sins, right? As Christians, we don't lose our salvation, but for our own sake of our creation, this is how come we're different from God. We know we're not perfect, so we cry out to our Father, right? So he helps us. He cleanses us. He gives us peace and joy again, right? We get back up on the bull, the boy does, right? Until he learns. And that's the way we are as Christians. We are no longer condemned, but we are responsible before man and God. So with this, after this, we talk about why, how does this affect our lives then? You know, God's made us his sons and daughters, and now we're on this bull. Now we can see, oh yeah, this bull is strong, it's huge. Oh man, I don't want it to go eat somebody's field. That's what we use, you know, think of this bull goes out, you know, you don't want it to do that, so you want to keep it on the narrow, right? So what happens? I think it's B6, number 6. Boom. So who's really hitting each other? It's the flesh. It's not the people on the back, although this is a non-Christian and a Christian, right? So what helps us see? The way we see God's view of us in the world, we have to settle on that. Okay. Do I really want my bull to lash out at a non-Christian? Don't I want to glorify God, right? So then we can become more mindful to hold it. No, that's not what God wants. That's not me. I don't need to react that way anymore, right? And a lot of times we're actually more kind to non-believers, right, as Christians. Say, oh, they don't know. Okay, I think it's 7. This is the Christian and Christian. But who's really doing it? Right? Really, who's doing it? God knows it's not. I do not want to hurt anybody, and I know no one else does. I do not want to be a stumbling block, right? But why are we? Because we get our mind off God. And that's the tension here. He left us here on this earth to gain control over the sinful works of the flesh, right? The bull, right? So no one wants to do that. So why don't we just forgive? Why can't we do that? If we know who we are in Christ, and we know everyone has the same problem that I do, they have a bull, right? I mean, they have a bull, right? So why cannot we forgive? And of course, I know why I don't. It's rhetorical. I know why. Because I'm not thinking of what my Father wants. And sometimes forgiving another Christian is, it's very complicated, because we say, oh, they know. They know what they should do. They've done that a lot of times. But God says, hey, it's easy to forgive those who love you, but my love is to forgive those who don't love you. See, we as Christians pray to get closer to God, pray to know God's love, God to bless us. But you know how he blesses us? It's when we suffer like Christ did. Christ died for us with no need to die. He was not a sinner. He did not sin, but he took on all of our sin. So that's why it's important for us, no matter what people know as a Christian, to forgive them. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's tough love. I mean, there's always exceptions, like, well, you know, that guy, you know, he's stealing cars. You know, he stole my car. So how am I going to handle this? But there's a right way to handle it. And so that's what when we start to think of who we are and what our problems are, who really is our enemy, our flesh, right? The proudful man, right? That's our enemy. So we got to step back and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We say, Lord, now how would you want me to handle this? I can't just let it go, but I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to invite him over for dinner, you know, or I'm going to take him out to dinner, but I'm going to explain why that's wrong, but I forgive him. So the more we think this way, the more we know who our enemy is, the more we know that our brothers and sisters have the same issue, it's easier. So these little things help, these little illustrations and stuff. But it's scripture. It's scripture. So another thing is, why don't we think God is working in others like he's working in me? I know my faults. I know one sin. Adam and Eve sinned once, and he condemned the whole human race one time. God is holy. Holy, right? So you think, well, I don't sin as much as that person. I didn't do that. God says sin is sin. One little sin is tremendously offensive, right, to God. I mean, separation, death. So does it really matter? If I've sinned, you know, 100 times in my life, and this guy sinned 150, does it really matter? Do I really think God is going to work in me more than him? My sin is just as ugly. When I see a brother sin or sister sin, it's just as ugly as my sin. Why do I think God is any different between me and him? God is working in others just like he's working in me. You know, it's because our flesh gets in the way, and we think, God, no. You know, he did that too many times, and I forget all my stuff, you know. So really, our perspective and our understanding of what God is doing with us is so important. But to know who we are not condemned. Christ paid for it. We can't add anything. Can't add anything to Christ's work on our behalf for salvation. We can't add to it and can't take away from it. It is completely done, finished. We're new creations. But our job is to keep that bull on the straight and narrow. And as we grow and mature, that's all about maturity. And we're getting short, okay. We'll go to 8. Okay, so we see here the foundation, Christ's work on our behalf. That's salvation, right? Now that up there is what we work. God's given us everything. He's given us the Holy Spirit, his word. With the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, meekness, joy, or love. Okay, there's 8. But, I mean, all these things and more, right? So we don't work and walk in the Spirit. This building this house is not physical ministry. It's not being a pastor. It's not being a missionary. It's not being a, you know, school teacher. It's not handing out tracts. It's not sharing the gospel. This is walking in the Spirit. The only thing that's going to last is how we walk in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh cannot build anything. It can build, but it's going to be burned away. you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 3. So as a Christian, our foundation is Christ, it is sure. If everything burns, foundation is there. Our salvation is there. But our job is to walk in the Spirit in love and have something for our Father when we see Him. All of us are going to see Him. No one's going to be in between us and our Father. He's going to say, okay, child, you know, here's your reward. This is what you did. And, you know, so all of us are going to be at that place. And only the things we've done in the Spirit are going to last God's trial. It's not about salvation. It's about our reward, our obedience and our love for Him. So the top part is our maturing in the faith, in the Spirit. And the bottom part is Christ's work. God's work is His work alone. The covenant that gave us salvation is between the Father and the Son. It's not between us. We enter in that covenant because of God's grace, because of faith alone. We receive God's blessing because of our faith in His work through God's grace. Unmerited favor. No one can do it. He knows it. Christ is the only man. So we gain salvation because of what Christ did, not because of our works. But it's important to work, to show love, to show light. Right? And that's only going to last. You can do a lot of things. You can build a lot of stuff with hay, wood, and stubble up there, right, in the flesh. God's going to know. But that doesn't matter. I mean, we all do that. But it does matter. You know, it does matter to God. Our love, showing our love and our obedience to our Father. So the work we do is really in the Spirit. It's not, God can get somebody else to build a church. God can get somebody else to go to a different country. I don't got to do it. He's working on my inside, and I trust that. He's working on your inside, and I trust that, right? You're going to be a light. You can just say a little bit, and God's going to work. You know, that He works through your faith and your love in Him. So that's the difference. So we're new creations, and we have all this power that God's given us to be lights. And He is not a respecter of persons. No matter what you've done, you always can get back into the fellowship with God as a Christian. You confess your sin. You say, Lord, look at what I've been doing, you know. Lord, please strengthen me. Cleanse me. I want to be more of a light. And He'll do it. So that's how that's how we start out. We continually teach this stuff because they don't know. I mean, we have a culture of Christianity. They have nothing.